This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Last Wednesday evening, I began a four-part sermon series entitled Stirring Up. And last Wednesday, I focused on God's gift of covenant. We learned how God's covenant with us is totally different than the covenants that take place between human beings in this world. For example, when two humans make a covenant with each other, the purpose is to hold each other accountable. If one person breaks his or her end of the covenant, then the covenant is void, and sometimes the guilty party suffers certain consequences. Now, what if God's covenant with us worked like that? We'd be in big trouble, wouldn't we? You see, we sinners have broken our promises to God time and again. We have broken the covenant by our sin against God, and we deserve nothing but His wrath. But here's the amazing thing about God's covenant with us. You see, even though He has been faithful to His promises and we have not, God still willingly takes the consequences of our rebellion upon Himself so that we might be rescued from the punishment that we deserve. Now, this covenant from God was first pictured when God promised Abraham that the Savior of all people would come from his family line. However, if you remember last week, Abraham was worried that his sin and the sin of his descendants would nullify God's promise. So what did God do? God had Abraham prepare a covenant ritual that was common in his day. In Genesis chapter 15, we read that God told Abraham to kill various animals, to cut them in half, and to set the severed body parts opposite each other with some space in between. And then the blood from the animals was poured on that space in between the divided body parts. Then, we're told that something interesting happened. You see, normally, in that day, both people making the covenant would walk through the blood path. They would do this as a public ritual, and in doing this, they were saying to the witnesses, if I break my end of the covenant, then may I be treated the same way these animals have been treated. Pretty serious stuff, huh? But do you remember what happened after Abraham prepared the blood path as God told him? If you read Genesis chapter 15, you will see that God, and only God, walked the blood path. Abraham did not. So what was God's point? His point was that even though he would be faithful to his promises, he would still suffer the consequences when Abraham and his descendants would not be faithful to their end of the covenant. Now, I know that all this sounds too good to be true. I mean, what an amazing and loving God we have, that He would suffer the consequences of our sin and our rebellion against Him. However, Scripture does teach that there are many people who will not benefit from God's covenant. Why is that? I mean, are some people just too sinful to benefit from this covenant? No. You see, Scripture teaches that we are all equally sinful and all equally deserving of God's wrath. So then, why do some not benefit from God's covenant? The answer is that some fail to believe that God's covenant is a covenant of pure grace. Tonight's sermon is about grace. Now, you might wonder, what does God's grace have to do with His covenant? Well, simply put, that word grace translates various biblical words that refer to God's unconditional love for us. In other words, God does not make His covenant with us because we deserve it somehow. Instead, God makes His covenant with us even though we don't deserve it. But sadly, the devil tempts us to think that God forgives our sin because we somehow do deserve it. Now, if we think that we deserve God's forgiveness, then technically we think that God is obligated to be merciful to us. And if God is obligated to be merciful to us, then His covenant is a conditional covenant based on us being worthy. But you see, the whole point of God's covenant is that it is unconditional. In other words, God's covenant is only a covenant of grace. And if we try to receive the benefits of God's covenant in any other way besides faith in God's grace alone, then we cannot receive the benefits of the covenant. For example, throughout Old Testament history, God's people offered animal blood sacrifices as God had commanded them to do. Now, these animal blood sacrifices were meant to be a sign for the people that God was forgiving them because He would place the punishment of their sin upon someone else, namely the Savior He had promised. However, over time, God's people started to think like the pagan unbelievers, the pagan idol worshippers around them. Do you know what all false worldly religions have in common? In spite of all their various differences, the one thing they have in common is that they all believe that God or the gods will be merciful to us if we deserve it. As long as our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds, as long as we give God or the gods what they want, then God or the gods will have mercy on us. And sadly, many generations of God's people offered animal blood sacrifices, thinking they were giving something to God and thereby obligating Him to be merciful to them. In fact, in Jesus' day, the Pharisees believed that their lives of good works were an offering to God that made them worthy of His mercy. You see, it wasn't that the Pharisees thought that they were perfect or that they were completely sinless. They knew that they had sinned, but in spite of their sins, they thought that deep down, they were still good people overall. In fact, they thought that their good deeds outweighed their bad deeds, and so their good deeds should cancel out their bad deeds, and that meant God had to be fair and forgive them. But my friends, that's not how God's covenant works. God didn't send Jesus to save us because we deserve it. No, God sent Jesus to save us even though we don't deserve it. But if we begin to think that we're basically good people, if we believe God owes us mercy because we've done some good things for Him, then we're in danger of losing out on all the benefits of His covenant of pure grace. You know, even we Christians who believe that Jesus is our Savior can fall into this trap. For example, there are many people who believe that Jesus died on the cross to take our sins away, but some of these same people think that we receive the benefits of Jesus' death because we are worthy. Let me give you an example. Imagine that we're all in a pit that's 1 mile deep. The walls are stainless steel and they're greased. So there's no way we can climb out of the pit on our own. At the top of the pit, looking down, is Jesus. Now, He has the power to come down into the pit and rescue us. However, before He does that, He looks down and He says, "I am willing to come down into that pit and save you, but first you have to prove to me that you're worthy of my salvation." You know, many people agree that only Jesus can save them from the pit of sin, but some of these same people think that Jesus will save them because in the end, They are basically good people and worthy of his salvation. So as long as our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds, people think, then the benefits of Jesus' death get applied to us. My friends, this kind of pious religiosity is nothing but evil unbelief in disguise. And we're all sometimes guilty of thinking this way. For instance, we're all guilty of thinking that God can't help but love us because deep down, we're basically good and we're not as bad as other people we know. We're all guilty of thinking that our efforts at avoiding certain sins and our striving to do what is right, we're all tempted to think that this must count for something before God. But my friends, such thinking is evil boasting. And if left unchecked, such boasting will cut us off from the benefits of God's covenant of pure grace. But the good news is that God loves us too much to leave us enslaved by this evil self-righteousness. Therefore, the Holy Spirit works through God's Word to give us new hearts and minds so that we can understand that we are saved by God's covenant of pure grace. In our first reading, we heard Jonah's prayer from the belly of a great fish. Not a place I'd like to be. Why was Jonah there? Well, you see, earlier Jonah had refused to obey God, who had asked him to go and preach to Nineveh and all of the unbelievers there. Well, Jonah did not want to go. Why? Was he scared of what the Ninevites would do to him? No. You see, Jonah knew that if he preached God's word to Nineveh, he knew that some of them might repent. And if they did repent, then he knew that God would very likely forgive them out of pure grace. And Jonah did not want God to do that because he thought he was better than them and he hated their guts. He wanted them to burn in hell. And so Jonah took a boat ride in the opposite direction. Well, I think you know the story. God humbled self-righteous Jonah. God brought a storm, and Jonah ended up in the ocean, and God sent a great fish to swallow him. And then Jonah began to pray. Now, if I'm in the belly of a great fish, I think I'd be praying too. Here's what Jonah prayed. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. What do we learn from this prayer? Well, Jonah finally gets it through his thick skull that he has sinned against the Lord and deserves nothing but his wrath. He then remembers the temple in Jerusalem where the animal blood sacrifices were offered, the sacrifices that pointed ahead to the coming Savior who would give his life for unworthy sinners. In fact, Jonah also confesses that those who cling to false gods forfeit the grace that could have been theirs. You see, Jonah finally understands that he had been trusting in the false god of his own goodness. Jonah's false god was his own self-righteousness. In fact, if Jonah had continued to think this way, he would have forfeited the grace that could have been his through faith in God's covenant. His covenant of pure grace. Therefore, Jonah promises to do what God called him to do, recognizing that salvation comes from the Lord. God saves us even though we don't deserve it. And therefore, Jonah began to obey God out of love and thanksgiving for God's undeserved mercy that we receive through his covenant of grace. Now, in our second reading from Ephesians, Paul stresses that we are by nature objects of God's wrath. That means we could never, ever be worthy of the forgiveness that Christ won for us. Nevertheless, we do receive the benefits of Christ's sacrifice. We receive it because of God's grace and His grace alone. In fact, even our faith in Jesus is a gift that God gives to us. Finally, in our gospel reading from Luke, we heard about John the Baptist, who came to prepare people for the coming of the Lord. And what did we hear? John was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. In other words, John was saying that unworthy sinners could receive the benefits of God's covenant of pure grace. Now, those who knew that they deserved only God's wrath, when they heard John say this, they rejoiced. They couldn't wait to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. But others who believed that they were worthy of God's covenant, they despised John's message, and they refused to be baptized. Now, God wanted to save them too, but as long as they thought that they deserved God's mercy, they could not benefit from His covenant of pure grace. Well, tonight, God has used His word to humble us. Like Jonah, we have been swallowed by the whale of God's word, and His word has exposed the fact that we deserve nothing but His wrath. We're in a pit, and we can't dig ourselves out. But the good news is that God has delivered us from the pit of our sin by pure grace. And He has poured out upon us the blood covenant. Tonight, we unworthy sinners get to receive the benefits of God's covenant by pure grace. As Jesus said on the night He was betrayed, "Drink from it, all of you. This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a moment we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share.